S on air. DJ's Pepijn, Suus, Jim en Pieter Jan.
ENS on air.
Innovation on air.
On the hotspot there is Mr. David Cooperrider. Welcome in the radio show.
Welcome. Hello. David.
Thank you.
We're so honored to have you here. It's just great. And I'm really curious because you were the main keynote speaker. You're one of the founders of the appreciative inquiry way of thinking. And you just had your keynote speech. Were you nervous?
No, very excited.
Very excited.
Yeah, very excited to be back in Belgium. Yeah.
Because you were here before in Belgium.
Oh, yeah. Wonderful experience for 3 months in teaching at Catholic University in Leuven.
Oh.
Brought our children and family, and we stayed in the Begijnhof. And
what
in
the Begijnhof?
Yeah, for 3 months.
Oh, awesome. For 3 months. And yesterday you also were here for the pre-conference.
Yes.
And I'm really curious, you've probably also talked to a couple of people. What is the story that you heard until now that kind of keep you with you?
I really liked the story today about Genzyme, one of the companies here locally. That's the top place to work, and they went from very difficult circumstances to perhaps the top place to work in terms of the way it's created a culture of engagement and bringing whole systems of people together to plan and design and collectively create their future.
They really managed to make a shift.
They managed to make a huge shift, and I think there's lessons for all of our companies, because deeply buried in every one of our companies are people who are just dying to be tapped on the shoulder and brought into the strategic planning of their company and so on.
You are also seen as the founding father of appreciative inquiry. How do you see that?
How is it to be a founder?
Well, it's exciting. And like any idea, there's a lot of people involved. And the creativity around the world today in terms of all the new things that we never would have thought about is quite extraordinary. But early on, we had a real hotbed of great thinking going on at Case Western Reserve University. In about 1979, I got started. In 1982, my colleague Suresh Srivastava and I and Ron Fry and several others really began to notice just how locked we were, how locked our world was in a deficit-based approach to change, you know. That the only kind of change that we could conceive was the inner dialogue in our newspapers and the negativity and so on. We started questioning all of that. You know, organizations are not problems to be solved.
But no.
What happens if we reverse our assumptions and we say organizations are centers of relationships, and relationships come alive where there's an appreciative eye, where people see the true, the good, the better, the possible, and lift up and create these alignments of strengths. So it's been very exciting as we develop theories about a non-deficit, positive approaches to change. But then all the applications that have emerged are extraordinary. And my sense of hope about what we're capable of as human beings today has just gone up and up and up. We're learning, for example, how to do this kind of appreciative inquiry work with, 500 people in the room from the company, from every level. So if you...
Yeah, so many people are involved with those organizations.
That's right.
That makes it having a big impact.
That's right.
I'm having a question for you because earlier in the show, we spoke to Nancy Dixon. She's not here. She was in Texas. And we were very honored to have her in the show as well. And we asked her, what would you like to ask to David Cooperrider? Well, she wants us to say hi to you. Well, now. And she was also very curious. She says the way of thinking about appreciative inquiry has grown over the years. And she was actually really curious to hear from you how you have developed over time. So what is your newest insight, or what did you learn?
I think the first of all, I think that we've learned years ago that relationships come alive where there's appreciative eye. Secondly, we learned that the way we frame the world around us determines where we end up. So, companies often do a low morale survey in order to improve the morale.
Yeah.
But really, there's a different topic here, and how do we create a high engagement, magnetic work environment?
Yeah.
Where the bond is so strong it can't be broken. And what we're finding is that as we inquire, human systems move in the direction of what they ask questions about most frequently and deliberately and constantly. And so I think what's most exciting for me is the art of the question. We have a book called The Encyclopedia of Positive Questions, where
I've had it in my bookshelf.
And it's fabulous to see what happens to systems and coming together of multiple stakeholders and how it can drive the creativity and innovation when you have a question that unlocks that kind of imagination.
So the power of generative questions, or questions that evoke like the direction that you want to go in.
That's right. I call it the unconditional positive question.
Unconditional positive question.
Is the study at British Airways, is the study about excessive baggage loss, or what is it that we really want to learn? Well, maybe we want to learn about outstanding arrival experiences. That's what our customer wants.
And instead of baggage loss.
And what makes the question unconditional? What do you exactly mean with that?
Unconditional means that all of those kinds of questions. We can study anything in any organization, anywhere. We can study, you know, conflict and debilitating bureaucracy in every organization. We could also study improbable collaboration and improbable departments working with each other. We could study, breakdown in relationships. We can study alienation. We can study hope, inspiration, and joy, and what are the causes of that kind of experience. And which it means that all of it is there. And so it says, then why do we ask questions the way we do? Because the questions we ask will determine what we find. And so unconditional means, my assumption is that everything that we need to learn about the success and life-giving factors of that organization are there in that organization.
And I'm curious because said the baggage loss and find, like, delivering excellent baggage, you said it's all about relationships that have to grow. Yeah. And when I have clients, they never ask me, Suus, can you help me to let our relationships grow? But they ask about baggage or about results.
Right.
How do you relate that to each other?
I think working with your clients around the results that they want is really important. Appreciative inquiry often is very task-focused, but it's in the process of co-creating and designing the future that the relationships and trust begins to evolve. We're learning a lot from designers, for example. Yeah. If you go into a design studio, you see hot teams and you see collaboration. They're working on deadlines for the new cell phone or the new iPad or whatever. But designers come away through the design of something tangible and results-oriented with a huge development of trust and camaraderie. Design studios are hot places. And what we're finding is the same thing in organizations. And so we have like four phases in the appreciative inquiry process: discovery, which is a search for everything that gives light, the positive core of assets, all the past, present, and future capacity of a system. Then we use that to help a system begin to imagine, not only what's best, but what's next. What is our image, and what are those guiding images of results in the future? But then we go into this design phase where we build and create rapid prototypes of the future. Like in Cleveland, we brought the whole city. The mayor launched a summit to build a green city on a blue lake, an economic engine to build a green city on a blue lake. And it's so exciting when we bring 700 business leaders and
700
and citizens and neighborhoods and educators and think tanks and universities and government officials to design for 2019, you know, a 20-year, you know, thinking way out into the future. But as people design, not just have a good dialogue, but design something very important to them. They design the imagery and the prototype of the offshore wind energy system. Then all of a sudden, trust bursts, overflows. Ah. People love, you know. So,
we don't work directly
with those human relationships. The trust and social capital, those things ensue from working on the right high purpose.
Yeah. Working on design or making things helps to create those relationships.
Exactly. I talked with Jimmy Carter at one point after his presidency, and I used an appreciative inquiry question. I said, can you tell me the high point moment in your career, President Carter? And he said, that's easy, David. He said, it's right after we've built a Habitat for Humanity house, and we are standing in a circle, and we've crossed every class boundary in our society, every racial boundary, and we've come together, and he points then to the house, and you can see the visible impact of our coming together. He said, at those moments, tears of joy are streaming for him. And I think, you know, like in America, when in the early days, there was the pioneers who would come together with all of their materials, their hammer, their nails, their wood, and they'd build their neighbor's barn. It's in that designing and building together. Dialogue isn't enough today.
Yeah.
You need to go a step further and really do something together, emphasize on the relationship and look to the future. That's right.
Feel you that sense of creativity and accomplishment.
I have one very curious question. We're talking about appreciative inquiry and building trust. If you would have an argument within your family or with someone you live with, is there also a way to argue with one another in an appreciative way?
Yeah. And there's not only an opportunity to argue, but also to explore different meanings. You know, okay, let's take another perspective here,
and let's get
some perspective from the outside. And you bring the whole system together to help think about that.
Okay, but I have to admit that when I'm at house making a quarrel about who should do the dishes, for instance, that I'm not always thinking about. Let's see what different meanings there are.
So is this a request for coaching today?
yeah, maybe.
Okay, so think about it, because we've all had conflict in those relationships.
Yeah.
There's been ups and downs. I'd like you to tell me a story of about a time where your conflict was the healthiest.
Okay, so you're going to look for a healthy conflict and discuss that.
Yeah, I'd like to know. You have had, we've all had times of healthier and unhealthier moments of dealing with conflict and difference and anger and fear and so on.
Well, for me, a moment of a healthy conflict is always when you're maybe not agreeing with each other or having difficulty to find each other, but at least listen to each other or feeling seen.
Right. And what are the conditions that lead to you listening to each other?
And you mean the conditions in the situation that you're in?
Yeah.
Well, you actually like each other or maybe love each other.
Right. Yep.
You are curious to what the other thinks.
So that's partly what appreciative inquiry is about, is searching for those moments that can teach us and give meaning to the kind of future that we want to create.
I think back home they will be very happy with this with this interview. Thank you very much, David, for your time and for all the beautiful things you said.
The Wyk Radio Station, powered by KNS On Air.